All I need to do is remember, if I have two of those every day, I'm hydrated. And that has exponentially shifted so many parts of my clients' lives.
Wow.
When they found themselves a vessel that's 2 liters or 1.5 liters for ladies, and they drink it twice a day. And that's all they need to remember is, have I had two of those a day? And instead of trying to like mentally work out and hold the bandwidth of, oh, how many glasses I've had, it's sure. like super easy. So the first thing when it comes to transforming your energy, get enough water in.
Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. We want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around.
In this episode, I get to speak with Benjamin Owen. Benjamin Owen is a personal and professional coach who's worked with pro athletes, high-performing barristers, lawyers, and your person just setting out on their hero's journey. Ben created his first business, helping athletes and teams get on podiums and perform at their highest potential. Yet, he quickly found his passion in helping people transform their lives. Ben has been coaching since the age of 21 and has worked with hundreds, if not thousands, of people over the last decade and a half, specifically in creating incredible life and professional transformations. Tune in to learn practical strategies for achieving your fitness goals and creating sustainable habits. Benjamin, thank you so much for taking the time to be a guest here on the podcast.
Really grateful to have you as my first podcast guest and experience of 2024. Thank you so much, Junaid.
That's right. It is a brand new year, even though we're in the middle of the season for season five. This is the brand new year, and I just love having conversations. So super excited to have this first one with you, Benjamin. What I love to talk about is how we got here today. Now, we all have a very long journey and a path that we've taken, and we've made decisions over time that change. You're right. Oh, I want to get this car. No, I'm going to get this car instead because of the things and the decisions. For example, my brother-in-law was checking out these Lexus sedans because he's got a family, and my son was with him. So my son's, why don't you think about the Corvette? Now he's looking at Corvettes, right? It's really funny because they already have cars, but he's, hey, why not take a look at owning a Corvette? So that'll be pretty interesting. And that's all because somebody suggested something, and what was in the back of your mind becomes in the front of your mind. And what you do as a professional coach and a personal coach, you're working with high performance barristers, lawyers, and athletes and setting out their hero's journey. So talk to me, how did you come to say, hey, this is what I want to do for the next few years? How did you come to this podium?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because I've been in body transformation and sport since I was young. Yeah, I was always had a coach. Even yeah. from a very young age, I was an elite track athlete. Mm-hmm. And my coach at the time was this guy that I could turn to when things in my home life were hard and difficult. I just had this place I could go and I could just do my thing, and I could talk about things, what was going on at home. And I'd have this advisor, this trusted mm-hmm. advisor in my life that could just offer me impartial advice about maybe a next step for me, or ask me some good questions. And I grew immensely in that part of my life. And I realized that when I worked in elite sport, that every elite sports person has a coach or a guide. It's really acceptable. If you think about this, like if yeah. you were to think of any elite sports person, Rafael Nadal, Boris Becker, it could be as Cristiano Ronaldo, whoever yeah. it is, whichever sport, there will always be a good coach to associate with them. And so how come we accept it so highly in sport, but then when mm-hmm. you've got elite business people, it seems so alien for people to go, oh, this person's got a coach or a guide. Anyway, I was heavily involved in elite sport for the big part of my early career. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people came to me and say, hey, Ben, I'm looking to transform my body. I'm looking to look a bit better, and I'd love you to help me. And I actually enjoyed that more than working with elite sports people, because I got to see the ripple effect of these people making considerable changes to their health.
Yeah.
They came back to me and said, my marriage is better. I'm making more money in my business. Mm. I'm happier. And it was just so fulfilling. So that's why I really just took to that. And I've been doing it ever since.
Man, that's really powerful and really inspiring to hear. When you are working with somebody and you're transforming their lives, the positive impact that it makes in their lives, but then it also, like you said, it's a ripple effect in affecting your life as well, because now you're more positively charged. You're building energy, you're creating these incredible transformations, which then, you know, as human beings, we are by nature designed to create, either through our hands, either through our minds, either through our actions. We are constantly creating. So I think athleticism and motion and activity is something really that brings us closer to our true nature.
Yeah, and equally, the same constructs that existed in body transformation and sport and elite performance are the same constructs that will help any person get any result who is struggling, whether that's adherence, whether it's anti-fragility, whether it's commitment. All people struggle with those kinds of things. Like even elite athletes and high-performing people, they may be really committed to their career or to their craft, whichever they create in the world, but they might not be able to take that ability and apply it to their fitness or their relationship. Right. So a large part of what I do is help people work out which constructs in which areas they're missing. So like they may have incredible levels of commitment and adherence to their relationship, but that doesn't transpire to their fitness.
And so, I think I'm in that boat right now, because I'm really good at this part of the things and I've done some cycling in the past, but I've left that life, and I have the bike sitting, and every time I see it, I'm like, I'm going to jump on the bike and go for a ride, but it just hasn't happened yet. So what are some of the things that I could be doing, or listeners here could be doing, to do that kickstart? And I know we're in a brand new year, but by the time this podcast episode launches, it's going to be a couple of months into the year. But during this time of the year, people are like, oh my God, what's your New Year's resolution? I don't like to do the resolution, but what are some of the things that people like me can take action to say, get on that mindset of start writing again or start working out again?
It's a really good thing to think about. And the advice I give people, and this is something that it was actually a personal experience a couple of years ago, around about when I was about 30 years old, my mother got really ill. She was really ill. She had lymphatic leukemia. She had a stroke. She had like shingles all in the same kind of month, nearly killed her. And I remember saying to the consultant doctor, I was like, hey doc, I was the fast guy at the time. I owned a gym called Fast Way to Fitness. I was called the fast coach.
Nice.
And I wanted fast results. I said, hey doc, how are we going to get my mum as fast as possible? And he just looked at me, and he was very softly spoken guy. And he said, Ben, I think the mindset we're going to be using here, and I'm even speeding up how he said this. He said it so slowly. He said, the mindset that we're going to be using is start low, go slow, aim high. And I remember that so vividly. And I was like, start low, go slow, aim high. And I was like, okay, wow. And this is what I would say to so many people who are considering change in their life, is that you absolutely should have a goal, which is aiming high. Say, for example, you were to start running this year and your goal is to make it to where you're doing a marathon. Going out tomorrow and doing 10 kilometers or 20 kilometers, you're going to get injured. You're going to, you probably get, equally, you might run too fast. And whereas the person that, for example, you, Junaid, you look at your bike and you say, oh, do you know what? I want to go out on my bike. And if you said to yourself, do you know what? I'm just going to go around the block. I'm just going to go around the street. And you went on that bike, you've got a tick. You've made a small commitment to yourself. You've upheld that commitment. And that's going to give you way more motivation than actually saying, do you know what? Tomorrow I'm going to go for an hour and not doing it. So I would always say shrink the commitment. Start really small. And every time you do 5 minutes, you'll be like, do you know what? I can do five.
Yeah.
And then you'll start 10, 20, 30, yeah. 50 an hour. And that's how I've seen most success for people looking to create behavior change in their fitness and in other areas as well.
It's almost like I had the word right in my head. You're piecemealing instead of eating the whole pizza in one bite, you're going to cut a little slice. Okay. And in that little slice, you take a little bite. Okay, that's good. And then you go in deeper and deeper. It's almost like, how do you eat an elephant? You cut it down in small pieces. And I guess I've been looking at the whole cycling thing as an entire elephant. And anytime I go to do it, I'm like, oh my God, that's too much. I have my teammates who bike 30, 40, 50 miles every time they go out. I'm like, I can't compete with that. I cannot hang with these people.
Yeah, and I think you're not alone there. Most people look at those kind of things. They're like, in your paradigm, your current paradigm is that cycling is something that takes 1 hour. For you right now, in your current schedule, that is a big change. It's a big percentage of your day. Whereas if you shrunk that down to the point, it was a 10-minute commitment. It was just a stroll around the block or a cycle around the block. You would be astounded where that would take you in.
Yeah.
Start low, go slow, aim high mindset. Like I did exactly the same with running. I moved to Dubai last year. I started running this time last year. I started off just doing 5 kilometers. And the other day I did 28 kilometers without stopping. It was it's been exactly that. Just keep going, small amounts that, you know, increasing every single week. And that is how sustainable change is created. And then that's a big part of what I do with clients is that people think that these dramatic changes that people experience when I coach with them are going to come in the space of a couple of weeks. That they absolutely do. If someone goes from not doing any exercise to doing 15, 20 minutes a day, that elicits a big change in a couple of weeks. But the long term is that they end up with an enormous amount of change over a year.
No, you're absolutely right. It's almost like 1% better every day, you end up being 367% better in the whole year. So that same, I think, method applies into just a little bit at a time. So thank you for that tip. I really appreciate it. I'm going to start with walking first, spending 5-10 minutes outside walking. Because with road biking, it's almost, okay, you got to get into the special gear. You got to put on your shoes, fitty shoes, and then you're going out there. So I'm like, okay, how can I get out there faster without all of these roadblocks that I'm putting in front of myself? All right, man.
Yeah. I think that you're absolutely right. Find a way to make it so easy to act on the impulse. Is that if you look at behavior change again, is that there's something called the 20-second rule, is that habits that take less than 20 seconds to initiate are far more likely to perpetuate. So say, for example, if I'm learning the guitar this year, if I put the guitar on the couch, on the sofa, it means that if I make a decision to play the guitar, it's 20 seconds in my reach. Right. Equally, if I'm looking to give up cigarettes, if the pack of cigarettes is within 5-10 seconds reach, I'm more likely to smoke. So you can use this to your advantage, and you can use it to inhibit the things that you don't want to do. I've known people freezing credit cards. I've known people to not have any chocolate in the house. Exactly the same with overeating and ice cream and stuff like that. If it's within 20 seconds and you can get it from the freezer, it's going to be very easy to act upon. So you're absolutely right with regards to the running versus the cycling. Like cycling is going to take you a 5-minute commitment to get ready. Whereas running is shoes on, out the door.
Yeah. No, I love that. So what that tells me to do is put my bike in the garage, have the tires pumped up on a daily, just practice doing that. And then in a few days, hey, the bike is already ready. I just got to put on the gear. So now I'm closer to that meeting that goal of jumping on the bike, as opposed to not being ready and, okay, I want to do this. It's 10:47. I got 15 minutes. I can go for a walk, but to go for a bike ride, it's going to take me 10 minutes just to get ready and get out there.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's seemingly very simple, but it's the thing I think that gets in most people's way.
I love it. So Ben, you created your first business helping athletes, and you've been helping them get on podiums and perform even higher potential. What's been one of the most turning points for you? You've been doing this since you were 21. What's been the main thing that keeps bringing you back? And you said, you know, it's a positive transformation that you see, but what are some of the other things that people not might not be thinking about, but that are in the back of your head that helps you keep coming back?
I think I quote this on a lot of podcasts, which is like Abraham Maslow's saying, like, what one can be, one must be. Mm. And we are in an epidemic of psychopathology where people are struggling, they're depressed, they're anxious, they're struggling with all sorts of things. Mm. And actually what happens is, and this is my belief, that people make comfortable decision after comfortable decision. And like, you make a comfortable decision and you think you're making a comfortable decision, you're moving towards comfort, but you're not. You're actually moving closer towards what Abraham Maslow coined like psychopathology, where you're anxious, you're depressed, you don't feel right. And you turn around after a couple of months, you're like, hang on a second, I feel really terrible. Like, I haven't been pushing myself in work, my relationship's stagnant. Like, my fitness is going bad. I've missed the gym because I've chosen the comfy bed over the getting out and getting on my run. I don't feel great. And I just see that my role in society and to help people is to choose the uncomfortable decision and to show up every day is uncomfortable. It's hard. It's painful sometimes. And watching the ripple effect of both of those types of choices in my own family, in my own life, has meant that I've made my choice. I'm going to choose the hard decision every single day. And what's great about choosing the hard choice every single day is that you don't move towards like your life being hard. You move towards growth. And inevitably, there are going to be periods of your life where things happen where you're going to take a kick in. Life will whack you around the side of the head. But when you've made hard decision after hard decision, you've built enough of a buffer that you don't have an existential crisis. You don't find yourself taking drugs, really depressed, over drinking, maybe committing some sort of felony or anything like that. You just you find yourself. And I think that so many people need that support more than ever.
No, you're so right. Having that person to bounce back to and say, hey, I'm feeling like I'm going to go do something bad. But then you've got a accountability partner who can say, hey, no, you don't need to do that. And then you basically pull the person off the ledge or pull the person from doing a bad thing. And I think you probably heard of the AAA or the Alcoholics Anonymous. Anytime you're feeling down, you have a meeting. Anytime you're feeling like you're going to open a bottle, you call your sponsor up or you call a friend up because you want that moral support. And as human beings, I think having that moral support from our coaches, from our mentors, from the people that care about us, and it's so important to have access to that.
Yeah, and I think the great thing about a coach is especially the people that I work with have paid me. They've paid me, they've invested in themselves, they've paid me, and they will often go and take the advice because the thing about what we pay for, we pay attention to. Mm. So if someone's invested heavily to work with me, that means that when they've made a decision about how they're going to go and change their life, they're likely going to go and do it. And that's the great thing. When you're in a place of struggle, you'll get advice from parents and family members, sometimes your partner. And often people don't take it because they're not invested in the advice.
They're not invested in the advice.
Yeah, what's great about coaching and the space of coaching is that you often will pay attention to that. I remember back when I was on the track and my coach would say, go and do this really hard run. Mm-hmm. And I would be like, yes, sir, I'm going to do it because it was given to me by my coach. But if my mum would say, like, Ben, go for a 1 hour run, I'd be like, no way.
No, not
I think it's a really great position to be in.
Yeah.
Especially when people go and take the advice and they watch their life change enormously.
Yeah, and I love that. Well, Ben, this has been so much fun. Let's take a quick break. And while we come back, you'll have 3 hacks to share with the audience that they can implement in their lives and take those actions and take those goals and put them into movement, because that's how we get closer to our big, large goal of losing 50 pounds or gaining 50 pounds or running a quarter mile and whatnot. As soon as we come back, we'll have those hacks for you.
Looking for the ultimate live streaming and video production studio? Discover Ecamm Live, exclusively built for Mac It's the leading solution for podcasting, webinars, live streaming, and more. Elevate your content creation game and bring your ideas to life with eKayM Live. Head on over to hacksandhobbies.com/eKayM and download your studio today. Start creating with eKayM Live and elevate your audience engagement. Download now from hacksandhobbies.com/eKayM or tap on the link in the show notes. Hey guys, welcome back to the episode. We've been talking with Benjamin Owen here on the podcast, and I've learned so much. He's enabled me to think about things in so many different ways that I had forgotten, but he's like reminding me, hey, this is what you're doing. And that's what a really good coach does. It reminds you and helps you move forward. So Benjamin, you've got a few hacks for us that we can implement on our lives. Take it away.
Yeah, I'm going to start off with a really easy and simple one, is that if you're thinking about losing weight, if you're thinking about transforming your body, your mental clarity, how you feel, how healthy you feel and energetic you feel, it's going to be something super simple. It's drinking water. Mm. Now, I want to first of all share it. The biggest one with a lot of people, I sat in front of thousands of people who wanted to transform their health. And I say, step one, you're going to be drinking 3 to 4 liters of water a day. Mm. And there is nothing other than benefit that will come from doing that. Now, the biggest issue I think a lot of people have is that they don't have an algorithm for this. Mm. So I've got, if you're watching the video for this podcast, in my hand, I've got a 2-liter thermos, like a thermos. It's, you can probably just about see it. It's about the same size as my head. It's huge. And all I need to do is remember, if I have 2 of those every day, I'm hydrated. And that has exponentially shifted so many parts of my clients' lives.
Wow.
When they found themselves a vessel that's 2 liters or 1.5 liters for ladies, and they drink it twice a day. And that's all they need to remember is, have I had 2 of those a day? And instead of trying to like mentally work out and hold the bandwidth of, oh, how many glasses I've had, it's like super easy. So the first thing when it comes to transforming your energy, get enough water in. The second one is something that I call the big 3, and we do it with clients. So every single year you have a life altering challenge. You decide to do something that's going to change your life. It's going to be the year that you did that. And this is, Junaid was showing me before the book that you've written. Imagine that year that you did that book, it was life changing for you.
Yeah.
And so this can be something like that. Write a book. He's just told me he's written another book, his children's book. That's going to be life-altering. So think of something that's going to be life-altering. Do that once every single year. The second thing is, have 6 micro-adventures. So 6 micro-adventures that you put in the calendar. So every 2 months, you're doing something different. And then the final one of the big 3 is, have every quarter, every 12 weeks, have 1 winning habit. Something that's you double down on to make exponential change in your life. This can be being on time. This can be eating enough protein. This can be morning journaling, breath work. It could be going for a morning run or a cycle. But you just have 1 thing every quarter that you go to town on. That's hack number 2. And the final one, I'm going to say this, which is, get a coach. Getting a coach, whether it's free, whether it's paid, whether it's a sports club, whether it's a religious, some sort of religious construct, or whether it's just a business friend that you have an agreement with, or you pay a professional coach, get yourself a coach. Because when you have a coach, the time, the energy, the speed at which you achieve your goals with the certainty that you can achieve them is exponentially shifted. And that's something that, if you're looking to lose weight, if you're looking to change your relationship, if you're looking to change your business. So that's the final hack. Get yourself a coach, because that coaching and mentoring has changed my life. And I've seen the power of it change in other people's lives as well. Yeah. So that's the final one. So they're the 3. So drink water, big 3 every single year. And then the final one, get yourself a coach.
Man, I love that. This is so powerful. Because when you have a coach, and we've heard of, you mentioned earlier that elite athletes have coaches, and some athletes have multiple coaches, not in just the space of, they have the mindset coach, they have the body coach, they have the business coach. Like, all of these people are there to help. And when they say it takes a village to raise a child, well, that village is almost like coaching in the different areas of your lives. We depend on our teachers to teach our kids and the coaches at the best in the gym to help them with sports and coaching in other areas. So why do we forget that we still need that coaching? We still need that connection when we're now grown up and adults. Doesn't mean that we are different animals altogether. We are human beings after all. All right, man, let's jump into the rapid fire questions that I'll have to ask my guest. Number one, what is the one hobby that you wish you got into?
Oh, definitely tennis. It's a beautiful sport. It's beautiful. And it's such a, I started playing tennis like really late and I'm terrible. I wish it was something that I got into as a very young child.
Nice. Yeah, you, that is definitely a very powerful sport, especially the agility and the quickness that you develop with your muscles. It's super beautiful to watch as well. Next up, what did you want to be when you were a child?
I've always wanted to be a teacher. I've always wanted to be. So when my mum asked me what I wanted to do when I was a child, I turned around and said I wanted to have a fat camp. Even at the age of five, I said I wanted to help other kids lose their fat. And lo and behold, that's exactly what I did. So it's been a lifelong commitment for me.
Man, I love that. Next up, what is your favorite TV or movie show?
I think it's got to be the Marvel hero films because I'm massive into the hero's journey. I love Joseph Campbell. I love the monomyth. I love the character archetypes and how they're constructed. So for me, it's got to be anything that's got a hero's journey.
Man, I love that so much because I'm a huge Marvel fan as well. And I just finished watching the What If season 2, the animated series. You gotta check it out. It's pretty cool. I like how they string together the first and the second season. It's really well done for sure.
Oh, awesome, man.
All right, next up, what movie would you choose if you got to play a character in it?
Oh, definitely Iron Man. It was the billionaire philanthropist.
Yeah.
The guy that had no special talents other than his ability to think. He was extraordinary. He started off he was all about himself. He was very arrogant, very self-absorbed.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the Marvel series, spoiler alert, he gave his life to save the world. And I just think that's just such a beautiful, it's a beautiful story. And I think that's so reminiscent of so many men.
Amen, amen. And I resonate with that character as well. I love it. Next up, who is your favorite superhero?
Actually, when I started men's work, it became the Hulk. The Hulk is this guy that he's got so much anger in him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when you first meet the Hulk, he's afraid of his anger.
Yeah.
And he pushes it down and it causes all sorts of problems. But when he becomes one with his anger, he embraces it. He becomes this real powerful integrated superhero. So I think just again, like I really love the story of the Hulk.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And they've done a really great job of showing that in the many movies that we've seen the Hulk. Unfortunately, we haven't seen
Mark Ruffalo Hulk movie.
Yeah, Mark Ruffalo's Hulk, but Marvel hasn't been able to a Hulk only movie because I think the rights are still owned by somebody else. So they've been producing the Hulk arc within the short stories that we've seen throughout the movies. All right, last question. If you were a board game, what would it be?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. I'd say Snakes and Ladders. The reason why, because it's basically what I play with my clients. I help them remove the snakes on the board and put in ladders. I sit with people on a daily basis. We work out what square 100 looks like for them.
Yeah.
And we look at like, how can we add in ladders and how can we remove the snakes? That's basically my job in a nutshell, helping them transform, helping them move forwards and helping them achieve their square 100.
No, man, that's a really powerful game. And the way that you describe it here, you're helping, you're being the ladder and then making sure that the void, the slide is coming back down.
Yeah, man. It's very much a metaphor for life, I think. You can't control what comes up on the dice, but you can control the amounts of snakes and ladders you put on your board.
That's right. Man, this is powerful. Benjamin, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast. This was a really fun episode. I enjoyed having this wonderful conversation in the beginning of the year. Where can superpreneurs find you? connected to?
Yeah, so the best place to find me is at Coach Benjamin Owen on Instagram. And if you're old school, info@coachbenjaminowen.com. I'm a guy that if you have a conversation with me, I love to talk about anything that you want to improve in your life. Yeah, that's where I hang out right now.
Nice. I love it, man. Thank you so much again, and we'll catch you in the next episode.
Thank you for listening to Hacks and Hobbies. You can find additional information on the guest today on their website, hacksandhobbies.com. Please feel free to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss out on upcoming interviews with amazing guests.